Thank you, now, Pastor, Brother Chad.
Amen. The book of John, chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6. We've been studying, why do Christians give up and quit? Now, I started this about 3 weeks ago because I want you to understand we have no reason as children of God to give up and quit. Amen? I said amen? I said amen? Don't make me bring out my sign. Amen. I think some of you falling to sleep and we're going to wake you up. And then again, maybe not. Have mercy. Okay. I'll tell you what, we'll fix that. We'll go outside and have outside church. Amen. You'll wake up there. Yeah. In the book of John chapter 6, Jesus Christ is ministering, and he's trying to prepare the people for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he tells them, he says, now, folks, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And he's just trying to let them know. Well, they're so literal in thinking. They're saying, what are you going to do? Cut him up and eat him and drink his blood? And that is appalling to Jewish people. Well, it's appalling to me, but to the Jewish people, that's appalling. And so what he was referring to is that he was going to die on the cross. He says, I'm going to be that manna from heaven that you take of and you'll live forever. He says, that manna that came in the time of Moses, they got hungry again every day, amen? And he said, no. Well, after it was all over with, we see John 6, verse 66. And when you see 666, you see the devil, amen? And in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 66, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From that time, many of his disciples went back to the ways of the world, went back to the ways of their old father, the devil, and walked no more with the Lord. I want to tell you something this morning. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, there should be nothing that will have you turn your back on him. There should be nothing to keep you from being the children of God you ought to be. Our Father in heaven, now open our hearts as we begin to look at your word. Help us to understand the necessity of our faithfulness to you and one another and to your blessed church. Lord, we know the devil is fighting and trying to drag as many souls to hell as they possibly can. But you, Father, are the Father of life. You're the Father of light. And Lord, we pray that through us we can reach a lost and dying world. That through us we can encourage other Christians to stand up and be bold. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As we've begun teaching this, we saw, first of all, that we become a deadly drift. A deadly drift. You know, you can go out on any riverbank and throw trash, and trash is always going to just follow the flow of the water. Amen? I told somebody they needed the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, well, I don't know. My life. I said, man, you can go down the river with all the trash of the world and you're not going to get anywhere. I said, it takes something great to go upstream. Amen? When we were in Colorado, we used to always go as high as we possibly could to get some good fresh water. You get down there too low and everything and anything can be in that water. Brother Tim Jones and I, we stayed up in some tents, not very far from the restroom though. We was in walking distance of a shower and a deal, but we were out there and we went up there higher than the other people. We made our camp and we were able to get in next to a stream and where the water was fresh. Nobody was on top of us. We knew that water was going to be cleaner than the people down below there and everything. And as a Christian, we're no longer to drift, man. We're like those salmon. We'll always be struggling and going to the top of the waters, amen. And then last week we talked about we let doubt and unbelief enter into our lives. We talked about faith and how important faith is. I've never seen God and you've never seen God. You've never seen Jesus. People say, oh, I've seen Jesus. No, you haven't. You've seen the work of Jesus, but you, oh, I have. Haven't you seen the picture on the wall? Jesus doesn't look like that. The Bible tells us when he's on this earth in the book of Isaiah that he had no comeliness, no beauty about him that anyone would desire him. We know that after his resurrection, he got his new body, amen? The same body they saw on Transfiguration. You say, well, what does he look like today? Turn to the book of Revelation. You'll find out exactly what he looks like. Oh, no. But by faith we accept it. By faith we accept him into our hearts. By faith we trust that he does not lie. He does keep his promises. And he says, if you will, I will. If we'll allow Jesus to come into our heart, if we'll ask him the forgiveness of sin, I'm telling you right now, he will forgive your sin. He will accept you as his child. He will put you in his loving hand and the Father in his loving hand and the sealing power of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, God never lied to mankind. You can know you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Then I want to get to my third point now. Where we're going to start today. Why do Christians give up? I think why Christians give up sometimes, they allow boredom to become part of their lives. They allow boredom to become part of this life. I'm telling you something, folks. This is more real today than ever in the life of mankind. People get so bored so quick. You know how I know? Just look at what's going on around you. Amen? Man, any new thing comes out, they want to be a part of it. Oh, the hoverboard was important this year, wasn't it? If anybody got a hoverboard, bring it over. I want to try it out. I'm telling you, I do. I'm going to go buy a bunch of bubble wrap. I'm going to be honest with you. But I want to try it out. Oh, everybody's got to have a hovercraft. But those things will catch fire, don't they? Those batteries will burn up. Next year, it'll be something else. And last year it was something else. When I was a little kid, we had our things that we wanted. This is way back before PlayStation and all this other good stuff. We wanted little cars and we wanted this and that and basketballs and football and everything like that. That's what we wanted. Today, it's all electronics, you know. We got outside the house and Mom about had to beat us to get us inside the house. Now mamas have to beat their kids to get them outside the house. I mean, we never had a commercial that says, you know, you need to exercise 60 minutes a day, go out and play. No! They were trying to tell us we need to rest for 60 minutes, amen? Man, I did a lot of neat stuff. We built a fort out of motorcycle crates, amen? We took a top out of a washer and dryer. And yes, I said washer. If you're educated, you say washer. But, man, we took it off and we dug a hole and that was our entry. You know, we did cool stuff. We took coffee cans and made camp stoves and burned anything that was moving. You're not supposed to do that, kids, so don't listen to anything that I said right there. Man, we were never bored. We was always looking at something. We'd play 500. There was three of us and we'd play 500. How many knows what 500 is? Some of the guys do, yeah. Rest of you people, bless your hearts. We used to play any over. How many knows what any over is, huh? We used to play Red Rover. How many knows what Red Rover? Red Rover, Red Rover, send Tony right over. Oh, I should have said Amber. We were never bored, but today so many people are bored. Man, they'll do this for a while, and they'll do that for a while. I'm in the golf now. No, I'm in tennis now. No, I'm in the... But this carries on into the Christian life. Most people come to church now not to worship, but be entertained. Well, what kind of group are you going to have come in and sing? Well, I don't know who's going to be yanked out of the choir, you know. Well, what great preacher are you going to have? Huh? We haven't had one of them in years. You just get what you get, you know what I'm saying? Every now and then we'll have a revival and get a good preacher in here, a missionary, but you got what you got and that's it. I feel like if the preacher's not in the pulpit, he's not doing his job. My son goes to a church in Texas and every Sunday after church, and Zach knows this, we talk. Did your preacher preach today? No, he didn't preach today. He'll go 3 or 4 weeks without even hearing the preacher because of guest speakers. I said, dude, how do you get one of them kind of jobs? Get paid for doing nothing, you know? That's ridiculous. God called you to preach, you better be preaching. Amen? Oh, he gets bored so easy. My boys, when they were younger, now I was a good daddy. I was a daddy that popped your rear end if you got out of line. It wasn't abuse. I didn't do it out of hatred and malice. I did it out of, I'm going to keep you boys straight. I love you that much, you're going to have boundaries. Amen. You're not going to be trouble to your mama. You're not going to be a trouble to your daddy. You're not going to be a trouble to your grandmas and grandpas or anybody in society. You're going to toe the line. So when you get older and you have kids, you can teach your kids that way, amen? That's just the way it was around my house. That's the way I was taught. I was loved a lot when I was a little boy. Oh, I was loved a lot. But I tell you what, it helped. It helped. Well, one day the boys came in and they were young. And they said, Daddy, we're bored. I said, what'd you just tell your daddy? Daddy, we're bored. I said, sons, I'm going to take care of that today. I got them out, got them in the backyard, the front yard, the two side yards, and we worked for about 4.5 hours. Then they wasn't bored no more, Brother Rod. No more were they bored. About a couple, 3 days, and I kept asking, were you boys bored? No, sir, Daddy, we're not bored. No. Well, one day they both came in and said, Daddy, we're literally. You're what? We're just fine, Dad. Thank you very much. I can take care of boredom. You know what I'm saying? In Christian life, how in the world, I can't fathom, how in the world can you be bored in your faith in Christ? I don't understand it. There's a lot of work needs to be done. Come tell me you're bored in Christian life. I'll show you how not to be bored, amen? I'll show you how not to be bored. I tell you, I think it makes a lot of sense that when people become bored that they're not doing anything for God. And when you're not doing anything for God, you're not happy and you're not productive. And your soul is at unrest because your soul that's saved is desiring to do something great for God. It desires to proclaim God's truth. It desires to bring people to Jesus. That's what it is about being Christianity. And you say, well, I don't have that kind of desire. Then let me tell you right now, I encourage you to let Jesus come into your heart. Because when He comes into your heart, that's part of that DNA from Christ. You have a desire to do great things for Him. Oh, they become bored. Let's look what they say over in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some say it was Paul. The beginning of your Bible says it's part of the Pauline writings. I don't know. Luke, many people believe it's Luke, the way that it was written. I don't know, but all I know is it was inspired by He, the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The Bible tells us that we need to make sure that the fundamental doctrines of God's Word are established in our hearts. After we see folks saved, we try to ground them in the work of the Lord. We try to help them understand, first of all, how to be saved. They get saved. What baptism is, they get baptized. What service is and love for God and what the Bible is and how you're supposed to love the church and love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and how you grow in the Lord. He says after you learn the foundations of the Christian faith, which should excite you, he says, now let us go on to perfection. You say, preacher, the only thing perfect in us is our soul when we see Christ as Savior. But I'm going to tell you right now, we need to always strive for perfection. I know that we will never obtain sinless perfection in our body and in our mind here on this earth. I know that. But we ought to be caught trying. Amen? I've told you this just recently. The Scripture always tells us to be perfect. God's always telling us to be perfect. And you say, well, why does God make a statement like that when He knows that we're going to sin in our mind and in our flesh? Because that's all God can know is perfection. That's all He can state is perfection. When He created this earth, He created it perfect. Mankind screwed it up. Amen? When He created man and his wife, He created him perfect. Mankind screwed it up. All He knows is perfection. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our soul is made perfect and then sealed. Our soul can't sin, but I tell you what, our flesh and our body does a lot of it. Amen? We fight that rascal. I've asked many people, and I've asked the church before, what do you have the hardest trouble with, your flesh or your mind? And on every instance, everybody says we have trouble with our mind. Our mind is our worst enemy. You think it, then you perform it. Amen? Our mind is our worst enemy. He says, strive for perfection. Don't get bored. Don't allow your Christian life to become a boring situation. A lot of marriages start ending at 15 to 20 years. And they say, we just don't understand why. Some of it has to do with finances. I understand that. A lot of it. They spend more than they can make. And folks, don't do that. Now, it's not a financial class, but don't do that. But the next thing is, we're just bored with one another. You're bored with one another? Yeah, we're just bored. That spark is not there anymore. I know about fires because I like fires. I like fireplaces. You have a fireplace and you invite me and Miss Chick over and we come over. You have chairs. I'll be sitting on the fireplace if it's going. Isn't that right, Ryan? I love to be near fire. I like campfires. I think they ought to make a cologne that smells like campfire number 3. I would probably wear it. I love fires. Our little old house is a Cracker Jack house, Cracker Jack box house. It's small. My wife went out and she wanted one of those fake fireplaces. Amen? And you go and you push a button and turn it on. You know, first thing I did, I went and pushed the button and turned it on because I just like the looks of a fireplace. I go stand in front of it. Instead of this big fire coming out of it, it comes out of these little vents. Pretty lame, huh? That's what a lot of Christians' lives are like. Fake fire. Fake fire. I got me a marshmallow and a weenie cooker, and it's like a fishing rod. You sit there and you're tempting it, and it flips over so you can cook both sides. I put that thing up there the other day, and nothing got done with it. It was a false fire. I tell you what, you can take an old campfire that's starting to die out, Brother Zach. And you can get your face down there, or you can get you a fan of some sort or a bellows or something. And you can start putting air to that thing again. And the next thing you know it, poof, a little fire starts up. And then you go back and you get your kindling and you start putting your kindling on it. Amen? Next thing you know it, you got your little fire. Then you go get you a big log. And then that big log catches fire and then you're set for a little bit again. And you know what? That's what's happened to a lot of families, husbands and wives. I'm not doing family counseling right now. No, I'm just making a point. I tell men, you won your wife one time, start doing it again, amen? Start holding her hand. Start whispering sweet nothings in her ear again, amen? Like my wife says, say something sweet in my ear. I didn't know what to say. I said molasses. I didn't know what else to say. Candy bar. You know, I'm not guilty of anything like that, am I? But I'm telling you something, folks, the same way spiritually. You've got yourself in a routine. You got yourself spiritually in a rut. And you know what the definition of a rut is? A grave with both ends knocked out. Amen? We're not supposed to be in a rut. We serve a living God. Amen? A God that loves us and takes care of us every day and encourages us. And He deserves more than that, folks. He deserves our unlimited love and our undying love. He deserves our undying labor for Him. We need to leave the basic principles and strive to get deeper in the Word of God. We become a threat to Satan and his forces the deeper we go into the Word of God. We become a threat to his antics and his discouragements. When he tries to discourage us, we can look at him and say, devil, I'm going to tell you something. My God defeated you in the beginning, in the middle, and I've read the book, and he's going to defeat you at the end. Get away from me. You get your body away from me. Because I'm more than a conqueror. I'm victorious through Jesus Christ, my Lord. The Bible tells us we need to get away from the milk of God's Word. Now, when our boys were born, they drank milk. My wife used to work for a pediatric place, and when we got little Travis, that Similac or whatever guy came and gave us a stack. I'm talking about from the floor up to here, full of can of milk. Says, that'll take care of him till he's off that milk. I don't know how he drank it. It stunk to high heaven. Man, his gate wasn't shutting right that keep the food down. And we had him on goat's milk. And I don't know how anybody drinks goat's milk. Woo, that stuff stinks. But you know what? He didn't stay on that Similac or that whatever it's called, that Pablum stuff. He didn't stay on it all of his life. He was on it when he was a baby. And then the next thing you know, there's rodeo hot dogs. Amen? Armor hot dogs. He'd be a little boy walking through the house and he'd have an armor hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat armor hot dogs? This one. Amen? It started out with fat kids, so that was me. Then they went to greater foods to the point now where I think you can eat a steak. But you know, so many Christians have been saved 20, 25 years and they're still on the milk of God's Word. Now, there's nothing wrong with milk of God's Word. But I'm telling you, milk is for babies. If you've been saved any length of time, it's time to get a little bit deeper in God's Word. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I'm almost done. He said in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. My brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, we have no reason to be bored in the Lord's work. I saw a gentleman that yesterday at Atwoods, I was out walking around and I told my wife, we got back from bus visiting, and I told Travis, I said, I'm going to drop you off and I'm going to go out to Atwoods and Lowe's. I'm going to walk around because I'm tired. And so I called my, well, my wife called me, and she saw me sitting out in front. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going out to Atwoods, and I'm going out to Lowe's and stuff, walk around a little bit because I'm tired. I want to try to keep from sleep. I want to wake up. I've been up all night. And I talked to a gentleman, and I said, how are you doing? I haven't seen you since our kids were in high school. And our kids played football together when they were Little League and Pee-wees. So I'm doing fine. I said, I heard you sold your business. He said, yeah, I did. I said, what are you doing now? He says, I haven't done nothing since the day I sold it. I said, it would drive me nuts. Now, my daddy used to talk about driving nuts. He said, son, it's not a drive. He says, for you to go nuts, it's just a short putt. It would drive me nuts. I'm on the verge of a workaholic. I like doing stuff. If I had to sit there and do nothing all day, it would be horrible for me, my wife, my children, and anybody that knew me. And you know, a lot of times in our spiritual faith, we don't do anything, and you wonder, why are we so cranky? Why are we so antsy? Why are we never happy? Why are we always trying to find fault? Why can't we ever feel good? You can't feel good unless you start doing what God designed you to do. There's an old song that we sing around here. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. And what? Come on, what? And we'll be gathered home. Amen. God's made us to work, church. There are souls that we work with every day that need somebody to tell them about Jesus. There are people that we run into at the gas station or at the retail stores. And all they need is somebody to tell them about Jesus. Ms. Kay was telling me she went to a little shop and she passed out three tracts or three literatures. And she said one of those ladies just came up and gave me the biggest old hug after I gave it to her. You know why? People need to know that God loves them. They need to know that the church loves them. They need to know somebody loves them. And you know who that somebody is? You and I. You're nobody till somebody loves you. I want to tell you something. For God so loved the world. He hated the sin of the world, the transgressions of the world, the wickedness of the world. He loved the soul of mankind. For God so loved the world, He proved it, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not what? Perish, die without Christ Jesus, but have what? Everlasting life. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around.